the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. It's Idaho Matters. A new, nastier strain of Mpox has hit the U.S. There's troubling news about a human case of bird flu, and contaminated carrots have made people sick in at least 18 states. So it's Wednesday. It's time for our Doctor Roundtable with Dr. David Pate. If you have a public health question, send us an email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. And Dr. Pate is here. He's the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, and he's the co-author of the book, Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Dr. Pate, hi. How you doing?
Hi, Samantha. I'm doing great.
Let's start with Mpox. The California Department of Public Health has reported its first case in America of a nasty version of Mpox. How is this strain different?
So this strain is different in virulence, that is how severe an illness it can cause, compared to the other strain of monkeypox, which we dealt with back in May 2022 for about a year. But it also is different in its transmission characteristics and the epidemiology in that the strain we dealt with back in 2022 was generally affecting men who had sex with men. But this clade, or you can think of strain, does not seem to be limited to that. It can be transmitted between heterosexual couples, including sex workers, but it also disproportionately affects children, and it causes much more severe disease in children. We're trying to figure out how they get infected. We think it's probably from a parent who has been exposed, who gets it and then transmits it to the child, but that's not entirely clear. But it has a higher mortality rate, although the alarming mortality rates that we see in Africa are likely in some degree due to the fact that they don't have a very strong healthcare system. So we expect that it will not turn out to be as fatal to people with the access to healthcare. But this is certainly a concern that we haven't prevented this from getting out of Africa.
Should we be concerned? It's the first case in, reported in America. Is this something we should be worried about at the moment?
You shouldn't be worried about it. It is a concern in that we don't want new viruses getting out. When it does infect people, it can cause quite painful illness, quite serious illness. And for those that survive, it can be disfiguring. So we don't want it going on. And if there's one case, we probably have missed a few others, is my guess, because it doesn't always present as severe disease to people. But there are other things for us to be much more worried about than this. But I think going back to the lesson learned from 2022 with the Mpox, if you had asked people in 2020, should we be worried about Mpox? They probably would have said no, and yet we had a global outbreak. Mm-hmm. The lesson is when we have novel viruses breaking out anywhere in the world, we're so interconnected, we need to take them seriously and try to get them under control rather than letting it go, because it eventually does get into other countries, as we've seen time and time again.
Let's talk about that with bird flu. You told me that we got some bad news from the genetic sequencing of the bird flu virus from, if I get this right, a teenager who's been in critical care in British Columbia. What's that
yes.
about?
This is very sad. We've got a teenager, and the information we've received is this teenager was in very good health. So this was not someone with a lot of chronic illness. This wasn't somebody that was immunocompromised. And yet this child became severely ill and has acute respiratory distress syndrome, requiring him to be cared for, him or her to be cared for in an intensive care unit in British Columbia. The additional concern is it is not clear where this child got infected. Most of the human cases that we're aware of bird flu have been people working on farms with poultry or cattle. And this child had no such connections. We are investigating the report that his dog was extremely ill around the same time that he or she got infected, and that dog had to be euthanized. Now they're investigating the dog to see if it's possible the dog had this bird flu. This would be the first case of a dog to human transmission if it turns out to be. As you said, we got the genetic sequencing back. So first of all, we can kind of tell where this virus came from, and it came from a cackling goose. Ooh. And so that raises the question, did somehow the dog have an interaction with that goose and then transmit it to the child? This is all being investigated. But the concerning thing, as I've mentioned with bird flu has many obstacles to jump over to be able to transmit efficiently to humans and then to spread from human to human. It has done that in the past with several pandemics, so it is capable of doing it. But we believe there's a long sequence of changes that have to happen. Well, what we determined from the sequence we obtained from this teenager is it already got three of those changes. Mm-hmm. And that is very concerning, because while this is not everything it needs to be able to now transmit to other humans efficiently, it has made huge progress in developing the requisites that we think the virus would need in order to be a pandemic potential. And while some of these mutations can occur in the child himself or herself and not necessarily mean that it's already doing this in animals, two of those three changes are quite difficult changes for the virus to make. And it's most people that are gene experts in flu don't think this child was infected long enough for these changes to have occurred. So it raises the concern that these changes may be happening in other animals, probably birds, and that's of increasing concern, especially as we're now facing migration time. And so birds from the northern part of our continent are moving south. And so we've got to keep eyes wide open, and especially bad timing with us getting ready to have our human flu season, which could cause real problems if these viruses mix.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on the case, because I think it sounds like we're going to learn a lot more from that. I want to jump to carrots, which is weird. At least one person has died after eating contaminated carrots. I think 15 people ended up in the hospital. More got sick. Was this E. coli? Tell me about the carrots.
It was E. coli, which is a bacteria that all of us carry in our intestinal tracts, and usually is not a real significant health threat unless it is one of those toxin-forming E. coli's. We talked about one not long ago in another outbreak when we were talking about the boar's head deli meat. Mm. That's a different E. coli, but this one is producing a Shiga toxin, and that can make people quite ill, and it can, unfortunately, as happened in this case, even result in death. It can certainly result in other medical complications, but it's the toxin that is very worrisome, and that's what's causing the problem here.
And they recalled the carrots. Do we know if anyone in Idaho got sick?
I checked for the CDC reporting, and they're not listing anyone. That could be delayed, so I can't tell you for sure no one in Idaho has been infected, but I'm not aware of anybody in Idaho being infected.
Okay, so when I saw this story, the first thing I thought of, how do I wash carrots, my lettuce, my strawberries? Can I wash them to get rid of E. coli? How do I do that? I see this in the grocery store, fruit soap stuff that supposedly you can wash your produce with. Is that a good idea? Does that even work?
So first of all, yes, you can and you should wash your fresh fruits and vegetables, especially if they're not going to be cooked, because the cooking will generally take care of the bacteria. But yes, and what I do is certainly first wash my own hands. Second, I take the fruit or vegetables out of, usually I put them in those little plastic bags when I've brought them home from the grocery store, mm-hmm. take them out of that, wash them, make sure you have a clean surface where you're going to put the fruit or vegetables. Don't mix them with any kinds of meats, just have them by themselves. And you just need to rinse them. If it's lettuce, I pull the leaves apart and rinse it that way. If it's carrots or a real strong fruit or vegetable, I typically give it a little bit more aggressive scrubbing on the outside, but rinsing is plenty. What you have to be careful about fruit washes and soaps is, first of all, there are soaps that are meant to be body soaps that are made of fruits or vegetables. Those would not be necessarily things that I would want to be putting on my food. So make sure you're not using one of those kinds of soaps. But then, as you said, there are some soaps made that are supposed to be for washing vegetables. I'm not sure that there's any data to support that they're good. And it's certainly not necessary. Giving them a good rinsing is going to be good enough. And of course, especially if you then are going to be, you know, throwing them in a skillet for your food, the heat's going to take care of it as well. So I'm not sure it's worth it.
Good advice, especially as we hit the holiday food season. Wash those vegetables. Okay, we've got a few questions from listeners today. We've got a couple, actually, about the pneumonia vaccine. Sherry wants to know if the Prevnar vaccine should be repeated. Paul, who's 69 and healthy, had sort of the same question. He got Prevnar in 2022. But he can't find anything on the CDC website to tell him if he should get a booster. He wants to know, is the, pneumococcal conjugate vaccine a one-and-done vaccine? And if not, what's the recommended schedule? When do you booster?
Very good pronunciation, Samantha. So, yes. So, first of all, we recommend the pneumonia shot for young children, mm-hmm. But also for those adults after age 50. So, starting at age 50, your risk for pneumococcal pneumonia increases, and we do recommend the vaccine. And then your physician can consider giving you a second dose after age 65, depending on your risks. But generally speaking, and it actually is quite complicated, all the recommendations and how you work all these things. So check with your doctor. But in general, for the folks that wrote in these questions, especially the gentleman who's over age 65, if he got Prevnar, that would be one of the conjugated vaccines, then he would, in ordinary circumstances, be done. Some people are at particular risk because of immunocompromised states or not having a spleen or other things. So I want him to check with his doctor because his situation might be very different. But generally speaking, yes, just one and done. For other people that are high risk, people with sickle cell anemia, immunocompromised, those kind of things, we often will do two shots. But check with your doctor, make sure you're up to date. There's also older forms of the vaccine that we now give more updated forms like the Prevnar. So just check with your doctor to see what you've had, what you still need.
So that leads us to Sherry's question about the Shingrix vaccine. She got one several years ago, but just got over a case of shingles. Her doctor said getting shingles again could be dangerous. She wants to know if she should get another Shingrix shot. It's a really good question, and you've got 2 minutes to answer it, Dr. Pate.
All right, here we go. So first of all, it's a little surprising. The Shingrix vaccine, now that's different than the Zostavax. So if she really got Zostavax, then that's a whole different subject. But if she really got Shingrix, Shingrix is really, really highly effective in the 90%. And so it is surprising that she got shingles after that. Shingles is something all of us are going to be at risk for after we get to the age I am. And so it is something to get vaccinated for. It should be two doses of vaccine. So one question for her is, did you get both doses? That could be the problem. The other thing is, if she got the two doses of vaccine and still got shingles, before I would say, yes, let's vaccinate her again, I would say we need to look to see if there's an underlying problem that's putting her at risk for shingles, problems with her immune system or otherwise. So she really needs a thorough evaluation by a physician and check with her physician on this.
We've been speaking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and the co-author of the book Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Dr. Pate, can't thank you enough for all your great information. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.